I'd like to begin by thanking a number of you, which seems a little self-serving maybe, because ultimately you folks are going to have to decide whether anything I'm going to say makes sense. But I'd like to thank Scott and Jackie, who have encouraged the development of a concept paper on this topic. And then I'd like to thank people like Barbara Geiger, Lynn Page, Sally and Carl, Becky and Nancy, all of whom have influenced the thinking in this paper because of their experience with people with disabilities and their affection for them and for their programs. On the other hand, I would want to let you know that just as we do in government research publications that we do, you have to put a disclaimer, and that is that what I'm going to say may not necessarily represent perfectly their opinions. But as I said, ultimately, what becomes of the concept that we're going to talk about is really up to Scott and Jackie and the rest of you. I'd like to divide what I'm going to talk about into two sections with a piece of time in the middle for you to react. The first part is going to be what I call the why part. Namely, I want to attract you to an idea and then convince you that it's something that Holden ought to think seriously about. Then I'll give you a chance to react to it, and then we'll move to the second part, if we have time, which is the how part. Namely, what steps could Holden take if it decided to implement the ideas in this paper. Now, because we're on a limited time frame, and in order to give you as much time to discuss as possible, I'm going to read this first short part to you, because it'll go quicker that way, and then I'll throw it open to your reactions. So this is the why part. I want to attract you to an idea. Holden has a history of relating successfully to individuals who have disabilities. Over the years, people with hearing impairments, people with Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, and other disabilities have benefited from being here. While these efforts have been satisfying and absolutely should be continued, I'd like to propose that there is a greater dimension of enjoyment and even joy available and realize and to be realized if Holden accepts or adopts what I'm calling a community-to-community approach. It's something I've been working on for a long time and results from kind of the confluence of two sources of inspiration for me. One is about 7 years worth of research findings that we have on the topic of integrating people with disabilities. And the second stems from the privilege of being a Sunday school teacher for a group of people with disabilities at our church back in St. Paul. Anyway, what does the phrase community to community mean? Scattered across the country are thousands of miniature communities taking form in group homes or small villages for adolescents and adults with mental retardation. Hundreds of these miniature communities are sponsored by churches or are operated by house parents and staff members who are Christians. Group homes, which are by far the most frequent type of miniature community, generally contain around 6 residents with disabilities, a set or two of house parents, and several staff members who work for varying lengths of time at the home. And as is true across communities and families in general, life in general in these miniature communities, in some of these miniature communities, is doing very well, but many are struggling and some are failing. So how and where does Holden fit into all of this? Philosophically, I believe Holden fits in because of its overall goal, that is to emphasize life lived out in a Christian community manner, with an emphasis on inclusivity. Therefore, I propose that Holden select one or two of these miniature communities for people with mental retardation, bringing each community in total, with all of its residents and key staff members, to the village during approximately a two-month period, probably during your off-season period, meshing the community living aspects of the two communities as fully as possible. In this meshing, Holden staff and the staff and residents of the miniature community would be interrelated during work, worship, fellowship, and recreation, that is, all of your areas. Care would need to be taken, however, to not overburden Holden staff with new responsibilities added on top of an already heavy workload. To avoid this obstacle, staff from the miniature community would assume responsibility for primary care duties. Additional funding would need to come to Holden through fees for lodging and so forth. These fees would in turn be used by Holden to hire a few additional staff members whose job descriptions would feature the responsibility and the privilege of becoming a close companion of one or two people with disabilities from the miniature community while they're here. Perhaps a couple of new long-term staff members could be sought who have an interest in and an aptitude for this role. So in summary, I propose that Holden relate to people with mental retardation in a manner that features a total community-to-community approach, where the Holden community and the miniature community are meshed in all aspects. The community-to-community approach will be different from the usual Christian community approach, where an individual or a small group of unrelated persons comes for perhaps a week or two. Some people with disabilities who come for about a week or two and are brought together for a short period of programming, usually recreational, primarily by nature. But in the past 7 years, I've become convinced that in terms of school-based research, that there's now abundant evidence that if one really wants to make an impact on integration, for example, in a school, in a regular school, then intensive efforts for a sustained period of time must be devoted to the whole school by all of the school staff and all of the research staff. We've just made a commitment to a school in Minneapolis to devote 3 years of research effort to that school, to pour everything we have through our research center into that program, because we believe that's the only way you can really make an impact. An individual hit and miss operation won't do much, and I think it misses the point that may be a little bit hidden from you or not as obvious, and that is that an impact of this sort will also have a very positive impact on Holden as a community too. Well, okay, so let's talk about two additional why points. Why people with mental retardation are a joy to be with, and why Holden is in a prime position to make an impact on their lives and improve its own community, as in the bargain. People with mental retardation who live in group homes and small villages are often referred to as having mental retardation or cognitive handicaps. They're not people with mental illness, although once in a while the two disabilities co-occur, and on a standardized intelligence test they would obtain IQ scores somewhere below 70. From a medical perspective, they would be described as having, for example, Down syndrome, the old term is mongolism, or brain damage, perhaps due to some kind of trauma or lack of oxygen at birth, or they have some kind of central nervous system dysfunction. Having clarified some of the more technical aspects, just to give you an awareness of what the characteristics of people I'm talking about with disabilities are from a more technical standpoint, let's focus now on the more important point. What are they like as people? For those of you who have worked with them and played with them, you'll realize that most of them will be extremely friendly and open. Indeed, among the many good reasons for Holden to be involved with people in and we could even invoke scripture, I suppose, if we wanted to, but I don't think it's necessary, for good reasons for Holden to be involved with people who have mental retardation, is the fact that they joy one spirit. Their unpretentiousness, disarming frankness, and exuberant friendliness make them enjoyable to be with. Moreover, they appear to have the ear of God more often and intimately than at least I do. Hence, I am drawn to them, hoping that I might get to know God better through them. And lo and behold, that is exactly what happens once in a while. In fact, on Sunday mornings at North Heights Lutheran Church at 11 o'clock a.m., sitting in the midst of 60 people with intellectual disabilities of many kinds and degrees, joined in worship music, I know for certain that I receive more blessing than I can possibly give back. And I'm absolutely confident that Holden Village will receive more blessing than it gives back also, if it attempts to use the community spirit approach to bless their community spirit. Jean Vanier, who Barbara knows intimately, the founder of LARCH, a movement to provide Christ-centered community life for people with disabilities, describes the blessing to be realized in living with individuals with mental retardation as follows. And I'd like to just quote a couple of brief pieces from some of his work. They, that is, people with mental retardation, have led me gently into the depths of my own heart, filled as it is with light and darkness. They have led me into the mystery of Jesus and of his message, and into the secret of humanity and of its history. They have shown me the light shining in the darkness. And then referring to people with mental retardation as wounded people and as poor people, he says this: Christians have always proclaimed the need to serve the poor, to do things that will help them rise up out of their misery. But what we are discovering at LARCH, the Ark, is that those who are poor possess a precious gift and that we must listen to them with deep respect. They have a gift for others. We are discerning, too, that the life-giving Jesus is hidden in them. He is truly there. If you become a friend of the poor, you become a friend of Jesus. If you enter into relationship with a lonely or suffering person, you will discover something else, that it is you who are being healed. The broken person will reveal to you your own hurt and the hardness of your heart, but also how much you are loved. Thus the one you came to heal becomes your healer. The last part I'd like to read to you is very brief, and it is a synopsis of why I think Holden is a particularly well-suited environment for this kind of community-to-community approach. First of all, Holden has a strong community orientation and considerable experience in creating an atmosphere that is Christ-centered, motivating, and caring. The happy servant statue serves for more than a motto. It's a way of life, a goal for all members of this community, a goal that is lived out in work and play in all aspects of living. Experiencing a vital, loving community is often the greatest need of a person with mental retardation. A vital, loving community is the greatest need of a person with mental retardation, whose life in the outside world is often characterized by low expectations, inadequate community life, and high regimentation. Second, the geographic compactness of the village allows all areas of life, that is worship, fellowship, recreation, and work, to be telescoped in a manner that is very important for people with mental retardation who have difficulty finding so much program opportunity so close together in space and time. Third, community life at Holden demonstrates the important and rare blending of independent and interdependent activity. Because life is lived closer to nature, quote unquote, here, than in the typical retreat center, the group constantly shows a need to rely on an individual and vice versa. For instance, the group of chalets needs to rely heavily on the individual to stoke the wood-burning furnace, or the group's comfort and even safety is jeopardized. Similarly, an individual guest needs to rely on the road crew to remove snow from the road, or that individual's travel is impaired. For persons with mental retardation, the learning of effective, independent, and interdependent functioning is a major need. Before leaving the section, one might ask, are there some people with intellectual disabilities or mental retardation that Holden will have a hard time serving? Yes, a few. For example, Holden will have difficulty serving people with mental retardation who also have serious chronic health problems that may require rapid evacuation, as you can imagine. The village will also have difficulty serving people with mental retardation who have aggressive behaviors because the program changes frequently here, a factor which would aggravate the problems of a person with emotional disturbance who needs to be able to count on routine. Therefore, the environment here intended to be therapeutic would probably be non-therapeutic. Okay, I've tried to attract you to an idea, a community-to-community idea, and I'd like to hear some reactions to it before we go to the why part of it. Your turn.
When you say before we go to the why part
of it. The how, sorry. But the why is the more important. If you're not attracted to the idea, then the how part becomes stalled, if not irrelevant. Yeah?
I have a lot of friends who need access to wheelchair access, blind people. I wish I could share this place with people who have some of these limitations. You know, I hate to go back and say, gosh, it was great. You know, wouldn't you like to be able to do it?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be neat if in the future Holden could be accessible to people who have all kinds of difficulties?
I agree. The reason why I've chosen to focus on people with mental retardation is that they, as a group, more than any other group, have the most difficulty finding community. People who are deaf, visually impaired, physically handicapped, either create their own community, and in metropolitan areas, many of them choose to live together, even if they've been in integrated programs, because that's their preference. People with physical disabilities oftentimes live independently. They don't need any other support than that. But people who have to live in a community because they can't live independently are struggling in these communities, that is people who have mental retardation, to have a worthwhile community experience. And that's why I'm proposing a concentration, at least for a community-to-community approach, for people with mental retardation. For other people, the person with physical disabilities, the blind person, the deaf person, they can come here in groups or as individuals, but the need for community to community is not as great, generally. Of all the people who need community, people with mental retardation are...
I didn't catch what you say, John, about what period of time were you
envisioning? About a 2-month period, I would think, would be about right. Carl and Sally and I have talked about that. I think it's probably easiest for you to think about it in an off-season time like April and May or September, October, rather than your summertime where things are very, very active. Winter would have some possibilities as well, but it may be hard from a mobility standpoint, since some of the people will have physical impairments even though they won't be in wheelchairs, and to get around is going to be somewhat of a problem, and physical accessibility to buildings in your community becomes much smaller, obviously, so the number of opportunities diminishes as well. So maybe your off-season time where you've got less pressure for all the things that you have pressure for in the summer would be a good time.
What numbers do you envisage?
I would think that a typical group home community would have about 6 residents, young adults, adolescents to young adults, with mental retardation, a set of house parents, maybe 2 sets, who kind of take turns, and a number of staff, some of whom would be so part-time you probably wouldn't want to bring them, but others who would make a considerable employee contribution and you would want to bring them, so that you're developing that whole community by meshing it with this community so that they take something back permanently that improves their community life from there on indefinitely.
You're talking about 10, 12 people.
Yeah, total. Mm-hmm.
All right. Are you familiar with Henry Nouwen's writings at all, John?
No.
He has a very prophetic voice within the Roman Catholic community and out to everyone else. And, well-read, very contemplative figure as well. But it's interesting to me that he and his life journey, he's a Dutch priest by origin, taught at Yale and so forth, but has gone to live in monasteries, he's gone to live with the poor in South America, and now he's ended up at large, and has a strong commitment. He's been there now for several years, and you can hardly get him away from there because of his commitment to that community. And it's interesting that in terms of his own spiritual journey, feels led to this strong commitment to that particular community, which is, I guess, a way of kind of affirming some of your assertions there about what it might mean for all of us to live in daily contact with that kind of those folk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for that comment.
I don't know what that would mean for myself. I never live day by day with such a person. But some of these questions, I guess, slop over from why to how here. We're going to get into that, but if it's possible to structure such a thing so that the energies of the community one of the created tensions that we live with at Holden is our tension between what it means to be here and be a community, and that's a ministry to one another in community, and what it means for us as a community to be in ministry to those who pass by rather quickly in our view and join us for a day or two or a week. We sometimes call that our ministry of hospitality, or so there's energy poured into the sustenance of our own community, let's call it a long-term community, and then there's energy poured into the nurture of those who pass by.
This is somewhat like a sojourn group, isn't it, Scott? It's got some of the same reality as a sojourn group.
In a way?
Except that it's more meaningful because they're going back to a group where the sojourn is, they're lost in the world.
Yeah.
So in some sense, it's more meaningful. I really believe we ought to bring groups from churches here. We ought to serve institutions more as well as individuals.
Yeah.
I guess what I was thinking of could be structured in such a way that it wouldn't. How much of the energy of the community would it require? Could it be structured in such a way that wouldn't become a kind of dominant
I'm suggesting soldier.
I don't think that it would take a great amount of energy from the staff. I don't see it being burdensome at all. Especially if there were systems. If you're bringing a whole community in, if you were to bring the Lush in Vancouver, the community is made up of 7 communities, and they run from 3 people to 8.
Eight
including assistants.
Nazareth has got 8 handicapped.
8 handicapped people, and how many assistants? 2 right now. Not enough. Anyway, so that would be closer to the 12, you know, 10 to 12. So anywhere from 3 to 10 to 12. But if the assistants were to come, they're pretty much used to working with the handicapped folk. And it wouldn't be quite the same as just bringing in 5 handicapped people with no assistance.
Exactly. Yeah. And in the process, they would grow in their own community, and by interrelating them with Holden's staff, and I have no, as I mentioned, I have no illusions. You can't just add this on top of what Holden is. You probably could and get by with it because of the kind of community Holden is and the kind of staff you have, but I don't think it's a good idea. I think you would have to hire a couple of people who would sort of be, I don't like to use the word maverick necessarily, but they would have that kind of long-term commitment. They would be hired in advance with the understanding that part of their time would be spent in interrelating with people with disabilities and the community that they bring with them. That would be part of their job description. For a while also, I think it would be necessary for Holden to have a facilitator, either one that you would create here or one that you would find someplace else, who would sort of add enough energy to it to give it enough momentum so that it would have kind of a life of its own after a while. Because I think that it would be very hard to bring it up on your own. I don't think there's any doubt that you'd have to have additional resources, some of which presumably would come with the community or group home that came here, the village or group home that came here, through fees and other kinds of, for lodging and other kinds of resources. But they would add a staff dimension as well. And the people with disabilities would add some to your workforce, but you wouldn't want to rely on that because it could easily not work out as well as you would like. Because if you have to rely heavily on them for a specific work responsibility, it may not work out for you. So you don't want to place a lot of emphasis in that area. They should become additional hands, but not essential hands to the community.
I'm convinced in my own mind now, after the short time I've been here, that those that can stay the longest at Holden gain the most. Which isn't to say that those that don't come through for a weekend don't gain a great deal, but I think I think in a sense we do more is gained by being able to stay a while and be a part of the community for a month or 2 months or 9 months or a year or something, as opposed to a weekend.
Yeah, I do too.
Which I really like the sojourn model, and we've talked about shorter sojourn kinds of models so that more and different kinds of persons could participate in this.
So. I toyed with the idea for a while and then rejected it. Some of my original thinking was, why not have a group like a large community here on a permanent, ongoing basis? The reason why I reject that idea is that Holden, aside from a few people who continue on for an indefinite period of time, is a temporary community. And has the mission, I think, of sort of salting Christians with ideas and so forth and having them go back. I think the same thing, but on a longer term basis, can happen on a kind of a community to community program. In other words, reaching a compromise between not having a permanent community here for people with disability, but not bringing them in for a day or a week or on an individual basis, but bringing the whole their whole community with them for a sustained period of time, but not one that extends the whole year. It's a compromise. I'm not sure it's a perfect compromise, but it might fit Holden pretty well. I'm sorry, somebody was going to say something.
I find this discussion very apropos, just after the discussion that just happened, the outsider-insider kind of dilemma that churches face. And I think in light of the tension that you alluded to, Scott, that, Holden has of being a community that ministers to itself and the one that ministers out, that handicapped people might provide a very interesting bridge. I mean, just as in some ways your sojourn group is somewhere in the middle of people that come in. Aren't really part of here. A handicapped group of people would accentuate that being the stranger, because they're the stranger in our society at large. So they become the stranger that becomes part of us. And so in some ways, it's a real mediating of that tension in what could be a very creative way, I think.
Well said, yeah. It's kind of feeding to use your term, feeding two areas of creative tension, I guess. It's giving people a chance to engage people with disabilities where they may not necessarily get that opportunity, and an opportunity for them to engage back. And I think that's enriching for both communities. And we're long past the days where we're doing this because, or where Holden should do it out of pity and so forth. That isn't necessary. In fact, it's never been a good idea. It's had a limited appeal, and it's been fruitful from time to time in terms of fundraising and so forth, but it misses the point of giving value to the people with disabilities in their own right. And we're gradually getting wiser about how we deal with all of that.
And I'd just like to reinforce that and what you said about the gifts that they would be. Dan Bruner had asked me at one point last fall, we were talking about L'Arche, and he asked what I felt the differences were between the L'Arche community and the Holden community. It started me thinking. And I think one difference is that Holden, as much of the rest of society and the rest of the church, emphasizes strength and moving from strength to strength and finding spiritual gifts, and kind of, you know, that's a motivating or a driving force. Whereas with the handicapped people, as you said and read, they call us to our wounds and our woundedness. And I think that my own experience is that has been a tremendous gift to me. And started me on a journey I would never have started otherwise. It's one of the reasons I'm here. And the handicapped people have been one of the greatest gifts of my life. And I think that they would be a real gift here. They would call Holden to a new and different, in many ways, spirituality and walk and road to healing, a path to healing. Through our brokenness, because a handicapped person is broken in often more than one way, and it can be a call to the community and to individuals in the community.
Thank you for that, Becky. I think it's also a grounding point for Holden, because I think it's useful for Holden to think and to plan as wide open as possible. But I think there's also a time where it's nice to have an earthiness aspect to Holden. And I think people with disabilities, with mental disabilities, would provide that regrounding every once in a while, which I think would be a real attribute for the community while they're here.
Could you ever see a permanent community like that, Holden, in the sense that if there was some kind of connection that Holden had with, let's say, Larch, for example, and if we had, you mentioned 6 or 7 folk in our midst with their primary caregivers and stuff like that, however that was set up, and if those people would sort of would come and go on some kind of basis that was, but it would be kind of a permanent thing in a sense that there would always be. In other words, some of those people might be here for 2 months and some might be here for 6 months. It would just depend, I suppose, on the individual, just like all of us come here for differing periods. But it would be, but in one sense it would, would be a permanent connection.
Certainly possible. Barbara, Becky, do you have any thoughts on that from your experience with Larch?
I know someone had a job program that brings them here for 2 months every summer, I think. There's a large community in Spokane. Conceivable. But I think that your point that you made in your introduction, that for most handicapped people, routine is fairly important. It still needs to be borne in mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Scott, when you say permanent, are you thinking people that are here long term, longer than 2 months, or?
Well, you could mean you always have a group here, a different group here. You always have a different group here.
Yeah,
kind of a permanent program. If you're out, there would always be a group, but not necessarily the same.
Sure.
They certainly. You know, I was telling someone tonight about one. You think one of the most memorable moments in worship for me last summer was when Phyllis was doing a dance with, Jim.
Jim. Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Jim Cushman.
Mm-hmm. You remember that moment?
Yeah.
Now, Jim had, cerebral palsy, perhaps? Mm-hmm. I don't know if he had any mental limitations or anything.
Mm-hmm. Not really.
Probably not.
If so,
very
mild.
I would say
he was normal functioning.
Yeah. But I was thinking of his physical movement was very restricted. And wasn't that a powerful moment for people?
Phyllis had him join in the motion.
She created a dance around him and with him. I don't even know how to describe it.
He just expressed a desire that he would like to do a liturgical dance. So for the design going forward.
Yeah, it was very moving.
And even though, as I recall, he had one hand that was, and he walked very hesitantly. But anyway, that kind of experience was just powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was here then, and my kids remember that. That's the one thing that sticks out of our 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's very powerful.
Mm-hmm. I served a parish for 12 years where, when California got rid of its centralized facilities for mentally handicapped people, they dispersed them to the community. Some went to the streets. Some were fortunate enough to find their way into some group homes. And in our case, there were a lot of convalescent homes nearby that they used to be filled with white people, but our community had turned largely black, and so they all fled. And so a lot of these people came to live in these homes, and then they would come to church, and we'd have a couple of bands for every Sunday. But the dimension they added to the life of the worship was incredible.
Yep.
They, of course, were totally unpredictable. So
yep.
Every time we took in new people, of course, they all joined in me as well.
Yep.
When the bishop would come and ask him to raise his hand, several of them would raise their hands too. So it was... absolutely delightful.
Yeah. Well, and Holden is such a playful, creative place.
So the humor that they would add,
yeah,
is just, you know.
We had decided at North Heights that North Heights Lutheran that we would that we wanted our students with disabilities, with mental retardation, to have a chance to serve other people. It's not an opportunity they get often. They're usually being served, and so. We thought, picking up on the word "serve," well, we'll let them serve punch to the choir, to the adult choir, because in that way they'll be valued and they'll be giving a valuable service. So, Noreen, who's one of my favorite students, who is absolutely never at a loss for words or anything else, was put in charge of the punch bowl. Only somebody had forgotten to get her a ladle, and so we'd had this huge punch bowl full of punch, and all the choir members are lined up, and Noreen is standing there, and she drops the cup that she's supposed to scoop the punch with, and she goes down to the punch bowl, right up to her elbow. And fortunately, the choir members were understanding enough so that they weren't repulsed by it, but it was... And Holden would deal with that just without blinking an eye. I mean, it would be nothing. It's such a playful and creative place. And such a rich place for diversity.
Was she clean?
No. Not enough. Not as good as Holden. No. See, that's something that she could learn if she were here. Well, what do you think? Are you burned out? You want to quit? I've sensed sort of a positive response to the ideation, which I really appreciate and am to some extent relieved over.
Let me ask a couple of just quick other practicals.
Sure.
Would you envision if we had a small community, like would they be dispersed in terms of living throughout the community? Would they live together, like in a chalet? How would that, those of you that have had experience with, how would you see that happen?
I personally would think of it as happening both ways, but Barb and Becky may have some thoughts on that. I wouldn't want them to totally be always in their own community.
I think it depends here. On the individuals that you have up here from the group home. Mm-hmm. I think they vary so much in some group homes.
Some could manage Lodge 6. And
that's not what I'm talking about. Often the group homes don't have individuals in the group home that are of about the same developmental type level. Mm-hmm. And I would think people who are very mildly would fit into different situations, but I think for the most part that they would need a lot of consistency. And if they're coming from the same group home, they need the familiarity, you know, having the same roommate staying in the chalet.
Well, I'd like to see it's that occasional interaction with others that means so much, and you need a lot of it. And I'd like to see like a unit in Lodge 6 or unit in Lodge 1 or something, a unit in an area that's got a number of other staff people, so you at least can start out with the people in one area with sufficient supervision, but that they immediately start to get the interaction with other people. And if they're able to graduate, so to speak, and be able to move out of that and get placed somewhere else in the same building or in another building where they've made a friend or something, and that would be, you know, the next step. But rather than put them in their own house, I think you're unnecessarily eliminating their interaction that way.
Yeah, to pick up on that, we wouldn't want to sort of bring them here and then kind of segregate them while they're here. We'd want to give them enough routine and enough security for their own good and for their own comfort. But to use your word, to get some creative tension going so they're out in the rest of the community as much as possible. I think that would just work well.
If they want to grow as a community, though, I mean, if that's one of the purposes, for their own group home or whatever, to create some growth or whatever, I think it would be good for them to all share, shall I, or whatever. I think there's a lot of interaction, even if you do have your own living space, just the daily life here, Holden, you know, would create a lot of interaction with the rest of the staff, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think striking some kind of balance between giving them time to be with their own community, but not too much time, and not isolating them in the larger community would be the key. And I certainly don't have that all worked out conceptually. I think there'd be a lot of trying out to do, but I have no doubt that it would work fine here.
Well, what would be the price to them if we, in a sense, sort of mainstream them here, but then they went back to a community where they were not, where they were isolated again?
Well, that's a real good question. I think that to some extent that's what all of us face. We go back to our own church and we're sometimes disappointed because it's not a Holden, and they can't be as playful as we are. I think that there would be maybe a temporary loss that they would experience in not being at Holden any longer. But I would hope that the strength of community that they've developed and the experience of becoming more strong individually themselves, spiritually and otherwise, would offset the loss that they would feel for the community. I mean, I miss the community every time I leave, and I think probably all of you do. But you're grateful and happy that you had the experience as well.
But so, I take it that the group that comes, the first group at any rate, would probably be a group that you know, and they're related to your church. They aren't just, I mean, there's some connection that would go on and be deepened, right, because they're here.
Yeah,
you wouldn't take a group that aren't related to church or anything and bring them here, would you?
No. It would need to be a group home that definitely has a Christian emphasis. It wouldn't make sense otherwise to.
And hopefully related to a church.
Yeah.
So that they are already involved.
Exactly. In fact, the facilitator who you would create out of your own staff or train out of your own staff would recruit a group home and make sure that it had those capabilities, not so that it was connected to a church and so it was for sure a Christian group home with a Christian emphasis to it. Otherwise, it just wouldn't work. You'd lose the whole. Well, obviously, it wouldn't work.
I'd be interested at some point in the kind of programming that you envision as being relevant while you're here.
Okay, that's the kind of the how-to, but...
I mean, at some point.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to do? Do you want to...
Well, you're going to be here for another week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, 10 days, or when do you have to leave us?
Week from tomorrow.
So maybe we could find another time. I think this would be interesting for our whole community to talk about. So what do you all think? Like at a community meeting?
Yeah.
Yes, no?
Yes, yeah. I think so. Okay. You know, reflecting back to one of our most recent community meetings, I think
You know, we certainly heard an expression for the inclusion of minorities in that whole, and certainly this would fit in.
So Friday would be the best. We don't have community meeting on Friday.
Saturday
would be the time to we could work on it for a short while, at least kind of get some of the ideas.
Well, you'd want to do the why part, though, wouldn't you? I mean, it wouldn't make. If you're going to have a community meeting, you wouldn't want to go with the how part.
No, I think the why, mainly the why and so
forth. The how part, which is summarized there, is in about 20 pages here, and I'll just have that typed up for you and and send
do you know
to
anything about the economics of this? I mean, do such folks have resources? Would this be something Holden would need to raise the resources for in order for it to happen?
I think Holden would probably have to raise some resources. I think most of the costs would be covered by the fact that they were here for the period and would presumably pay their own way, as they would if they were living in a group home. You're just taking the whole group home and transferring it here, and you got food and lodging and everything else that would be.
But I assume the group home costs go on too.
Yeah.
So that it's not just.
Yes.
Some of the costs are not there, but most of them are.
Right. Right. Yeah. So there would be additional cost to Holden. I have no idea what it would be.
Are there any public funds in the whole programs that support them for this?
Yeah, I would think it would be.
What supports them in the group home?
State funds.
Yeah. Would these state funds transfer to Holden?
Yes, except for the cost of maintaining the facility itself, the physical plant. The rest of the funds would follow the staff and
are part of the funds, for instance, paying the staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Would the staff still get paid here when they get a free ride?
Oh, I'm sure they would.
Yeah.
Oh, they'd be paid.
Chances are they won't come free.
By their group, out of their, just their group home salary would continue while they were here, sure. Sure.
Just a question.
Yeah.
Well, they could pay room and board while they were here. The workers, because they wouldn't be paying any more back home. Oh, yeah.
I mean, what would they use their salaries for? Presumably they need more salary out there than they would need here, for instance.
Yeah, but you can't figure that.
Okay.
I don't know if my experience as a group home parent for troubled teens would transfer, but part of it, I think, would. We were run through LSS, Lutheran Social Service. Mm-hmm. Who was paid then by the state. Each girl was a ward of the county, and the county would pay LSS. LSS would run the group home and pay us and buy the groceries and do all that. But you're assuming that staff would want to come here and stay here full time. A lot of staff have families and live in communities, and I think that's an assumption that is a little bit unrealistic. You also have to be, whoever is the staff would probably have to be certified some way in order for the funding to even be there. It might be more appropriate to have your own staff that's certified to deal with those, at least some overlap. I don't know, but I think it's naive to assume that the whole staff is going to come and stay here full time and leave wherever they're from. I mean, this is Marvel's place, yeah, but not everyone can do that, the staff people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're staff, you're only there part-time, or if you're there for 4 days off, you're off for 4 or 5 days. Here, you're here all the time.
Well, that's where large differs. You see, a large person would have no problem coming here, because I live for a day with my person, and it's like I would just transfer, no problem.
So,
no problem,
it could be a little different. Sure.
But I do know, as far as funding goes with large, in Canada, it is taken care of, by the government. And even their provincial funding sometimes varies for the different communities. But in the States, I know quite a few of the communities are very poor.
Mm-hmm.
It varies. I don't know if it varies state to state or why it varies so much, but I know that is a real difficulty, believe it or not. with the U.S.
Sure.
being such a wealthy country, the large communities in the States are some of the poorest.
Mm-hmm.
And the staff are, even in Vancouver, it's not, the Women Board is taken care of because they live in community. They eat Simply, all the food chain, all of that too, and don't spend a lot of money, but I don't know what, you know, like, I don't know what I was paid or different staff, but I know it's not much, usually. And it's not, it's certainly not enough to pay for room and board in another context.
David, to respond and to pick up on part of Becky's point, I think that probably what would happen is that, first of all, you wouldn't bring all of the staff. You wouldn't bring the staff that contribute just an hour here or an hour there. You would bring the key staff, and I think by maybe I'm naive, but I would think if the facilitator for this program advertised the fact that there is a program here meshing with Holden Village, and that people would need to commit 2 months, maybe that's too long, at least a month, I think two would probably be better, of time, I just bet you'd have a lot of applicants. Maybe I'm wrong.
I agree. I think people would jump at the chance.
I think they would too. I may be wrong. And again, there's no doubt that you would need some additional funding, because you would need to have some one or two staff members who are hired with the understanding that they're going to be involved heavily in this program and would want to be, rather than just kind of adding it on other people's workloads. I don't think it'll work that way. But I think you'd have little difficulty getting that from some of the foundations that support people with disabilities. I mean, I think there's an outfit like Pillsbury or one of those foundations would just jump at the opportunity to do something like this.
One other thing that just occurs to me is I know that in our situation, when a girl, for whatever reason, lost the privilege of staying at the group home, that place wasn't there if she, you know, had a chance to come back, because there's such high demand for that. And to take however many people out of a group home situation for 2 months and then to assume that that place is there for them when they get back, I don't know how that would work for you. But group homes can't sit empty. It just isn't feasible.